too want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning and welcome everyone to this part of the service. Appreciated so much the words that we've heard in the service this morning. The message of hope and Joseph's very pertinent questions of what does the kingdom of God look like to us this morning. And maybe it's different than what we actually think. I would like to invite our attention this morning to the book of Romans. And if we would say we would talk about the doctrine of Christian love, what chapter would you choose? Anybody? Okay. I'm going to restrict it to Romans. What chapter in Romans would you choose? Okay, 12. Good choice. Not the only one, though. I would say more specifically, non-resistance. What would you choose? Okay. Well, you know, there's a unity in Scripture, and we can be glad that there is. But Paul is very practical in the book of Romans. Chapter 12 is well known for certain things. Chapter 13 is well known for our relationship to authority. But I'd like to invite your attention to chapter 14, because this is also very important. And he uses words here that we don't really use openly too much, and yet in our minds maybe we use them more than we think. And he talks about weak people and strong people. And I'm confident that if we look at ourselves, we would all probably favor ourselves, judge ourselves to be strong. Most of us would anyhow. We would say we certainly wouldn't want to be. Maybe I'm sure none of us would say that we're attained and then can't grow, that we need more strength. But probably none of us would say, well, I'm just a little weakling and there's nothing there. At least if we're honest. Okay. But I'd like to just read this. And think about what he says here. Chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him which eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, and he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but To him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, it's really interesting, the chapter divisions in the book of Romans. This chapter deals with real sacrificial love, giving in to another's convictions, ideas, in order to avoid offense. Him that is weak in the faith, he says, receive ye, but not his, not just for weak discussions, not to doubtful disputations is the word that's used. Chapter 15, verse 1, it says, and we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So what is strength and what is weakness in living the Christian life? I'd like to focus especially on verse 17, where it says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If we would turn to the familiar story of Luke 18, where it talks about the publican and the sinner, both in the temple, both praying, we would see a complete difference in attitude between those two people. We see one man that is telling God all the good things that he does, and very thankful, in fact, that he's not like most of the, or like other people are. And then we see the publican as a man that is humble before God. He sees God who he really is, and yet he has nothing to offer him. He just says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I think in there we see strength and weakness in a very real way. And I think we would all agree that the publican, although he seemed weak, was actually strong at that point. And I think we would agree that the Pharisee, even though he may be seemed over-righteous, yet he was probably pretty weak at that point. He was weak. And so it is with us. You know, as we look at ourselves, sometimes, or as we look at our brother, and at ourselves as well, sometimes the things we see as weakness or strength could well be exactly the opposite. Just like the Pharisee looked at himself and he saw himself as strong. He didn't know his strengths were his weakness. And the publican, when he looked at his weakness, he didn't understand that as being a strength. But the message for us today is that as we look at ourselves and see ourselves as God sees us, that it's often the same way. The things that we would consider our strengths might actually not be so. And the things that we would consider in other people their weaknesses may not either be so. And so I'd like to see what the Bible says. What does the Bible say about this? Here's what it says. Meat, things eating, things that people ate, were a big thing in those in the days of the early church. So many things were prohibited when it came to eating. And we know the vision that God gave to Peter when he was ready to take the gospel to the Gentiles. He showed him a picture of food. And most of us love food. I do. I'm glad that it's a blessing of life. But all these different things that were on this sheet that was lowered to Peter, and God said, kill and eat. And he said, no, I won't. I can't do that. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Think of all the good things he was missing out on. Ham and bacon and sausage. And, yeah, he never ate those things. That was common. That was forbidden in the law. And then God showed him through this vision that what he had cleansed was he was not to call common or unclean. And so the opening was made to the Gentiles. And he spread that out to other peoples. They were his people, and not to call them common or unclean. But here in this chapter of Romans, we have people that have certain feelings about eating meat or being vegetarians. Now, my experience has been is that most vegetarians feel very strongly about that. They feel really strongly about that. And their opinions are really right for them, and they have lots of things to say about that. There are people that maybe feel the same way about not eating, about meat eaters, for example. But most of the time, when you have a strong opinion, it seems like it comes from the ones that don't believe eating meat is right. Well, Paul indicates here, he says that is a weakness. Well, whether you feel that way this morning or not, I don't know how you feel, but I think that in Christian graces tells us that this is exactly what it's talking about. It says it's not necessarily, it's a personal opinion, and it's not considered a weakness or a strength. It's an opinion, and he tells us that we should be able to get along. And he's telling us that the kingdom of God is not made of things that are just simply opinions, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if we are able to sacrifice something that's legitimate for the good of another, we are going down the road that he wants us to go, and that of giving in one to another. It's always good to know where we are. I mean, it's nice to know exactly where we are. And if we have the ability to sacrifice something legitimate for the good of somebody else, maybe we can know where we are. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And, you know, how is that love shown? How is it shown? One way it's shown is by sacrificing something that's legitimate for the good of another person. However, if we are the unbendable one, where we think that everybody needs to sacrifice their good for us, and then we need to see ourselves here as that weak person. That's what he's saying. But then on the other hand, he doesn't condone us staying in that part, but he says rather think and understand that the kingdom of God isn't what you eat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's living in the Holy Spirit and having the sense of values that he intends for us to have for that. And he also points out very clearly that all of us are going to give an account of ourselves toward God, and that we will give an account of how we treat our brother. He talks about meat, he talks about doing that. Then he also talks about days. He that regardeth the day, verse 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own minds. Maybe that's more relevant to us today. We have Christians that, especially certain groups, would feel that holidays like Good Friday, for example, or Ascension Day, or days that really pertain to the Christian life, should be upheld because of their value to the Christian faith. What was actually happened? And I agree. I think that it's very important that we think about those things. How it's actually observed, though, is evidently not a commandment. So on Good Friday, it's good to think about that. It's good to think of and to tell our children the story of redemption, of Christ's sacrifice, and it's good to tell them on the day, Ascension Day, and that he returned to glory and he's coming again. Those are good things, but it's not something that is required to be in the kingdom. And yet, when we realize that it is, when it comes from the heart and is spontaneous, it's worth more than if it's a commanded. It's really interesting to me that Paul gives some clear direction in here on in how we should deal with this. He said let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So if you feel really strongly about any of these issues, and you want to insist that your brother observes it as well, this is exactly what he's talking about. He says you shouldn't do that. You should not change his character, not change his ways, but conform your character to fit his. Simply not to make a stumbling block is what he's saying. He doesn't say that you have to think like he does. He doesn't say that if your brother believes that eating pork is wrong, that you have to do that. But it does say that you should respect him and not force him to change his ways to accommodate you. And he says, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of." In verse 15, it says, "But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died." Paul wrote this letter to the Romans while he was at Corinth. And the Corinthians, he also talked a lot about eating meat. And one of the comments that he makes in the Corinthian letter was that he would not eat meat I think it says, while the world stands, if it makes his brother to offend. And so he was willing to forego personal pleasure in a huge extent for the good of his brother, if it actually made to so that they would not, so they would cause them, if it would cause them to sin, he would refrain from eating meat if that was the case. But then he comes back and he says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then he said in verse 19, he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. And so I think, I believe that in order to strengthen the brotherhood, we need to be able to see each other as God sees us and to be an encouragement one to another and to encourage brotherhood convictions, brotherhood we don't need to all be thinking exactly the same. There's a beauty in diversity, and yet there's a beauty when we can give in one to another as well. And those are not conflicting. And that's what he's saying here. But so if you're if I can see things the way God sees them, and I can see your strengths as strengths, and you appreciate that, we can build each other up when we see the strengths as in reality of strength and weakness. I'd like to turn to First Corinthians chapter 6. Maybe just in passing, to think about Daniel for a little bit. When Daniel was in the kingdom of Belshazzar, they were having a wild party one night, and Daniel was obviously not at the party, but the handwriting on the wall came to this establishment after they had brought gold and silver vessels from the temple and were praising the gods of gold and silver, and God's judgment was just about ready to be pronounced on this kingdom, but this hand that was writing on the wall must have been quite a sight to just see the hand writing and not have any, and just leave it, that message. And then he called all the wise men together and couldn't get the meaning of that, couldn't get the interpretation of that. So finally, Daniel was called, and then he said what it was. And it was very soon after that the kingdom fell. And Daniel was a man that was set up in the highest, one of the highest positions of the next kingdom, of the next ruler, Cyrus. And we know how the conspiracy was against Daniel to find something that would bring him down. And they finally found something that would bring him down and brought him down into the lion's den. And they thought, all his enemies thought they had found this weakness and they were going to destroy him. But you know, that weakness was his strength, and it kept him when everything else failed. And so the tables completely turned. The things that they thought were their strength became their weakness, and they found their destruction in a very definite way. And, you know, I wonder if in the big picture of things, how God is looking at his people today. You know, we need to Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And so if we can be an encouragement one to another and build each other up, encourage conformity to the Word of God, encourage and challenge each other's thinking and be in that way, I believe that we can be strong and be the right kind of influence in this world. And we don't need to, just like it was for Daniel, where he was singular, weeded out, thought an area of weakness would destroy him, but it turned out to be his strength, and what they were dependent on became their destruction. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All things are verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And the Lord hath raised up God hath both raised up the Lord, and will raise up also by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that which is joined to an harlot is one flesh? Right here in the last verse, it says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." There it says that there it just reinforces the fact that we are made here to help one another and to be an encouragement one to another. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.